This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome, WGGH and WEZS, to Radio Law Talk, the most exciting, entertaining, and sometimes factually correct radio show.
Really?
On the earth. Sometimes is the key word. We are going to have a great time this hour. We're going to talk this hour about the Texas case where a bartender, a young woman, probably making, you know, minimum wage and working for tips, is arrested for a misdemeanor, which is a lower form of, you know, criminal prosecution.
Not a felony, but not an infraction.
But for apparently giving alcohol to this crazy individual that shot these poor people in Texas, and she is being prosecuted. So we're going to discuss that. If you want to talk about it, you can always call us on 855-LAW-RADIO or tweet us at Radio Law Talk. If you want to email us, you can email us at info@RadioLawTalk.com, because a lot of times we're live in a number of states, but many of you were tape delayed on other days. And if you want to email us, sorry, but we can't get back to all of you, but email us and we do read them and we do take note. Sometimes we don't listen if we don't want to. Anyway, that's what my wife does. Sometimes she doesn't listen to me when she doesn't want to.
I'm making a book of all the emails that we receive, and then I review them on a daily basis. Just leisure reading.
When you say review them, do you mean review them as in, say, this emailer sent us this email, and you like a movie review? You give them
I'm going to start doing that.
We will call them. We'll give you 5 postage stamps, so you can get like up to 5. This is a 1 postage stamp email. This like that.
Please. So I'm going to critique this email.
Exactly. A review. Yes.
Please, no more reviews saying that Denise is much smarter than Todd and I. We know that.
Yes.
You don't have to email us and say, Denise is the smarter one.
If you're going to do that, just go ahead and also tell us that every day of the week ends in the letter Y, all right? So, obvious things.
So, anyway, if you want to call in 855-LAW-RADIO, remember, we're not giving any legal advice. We're talking about general topics of the law. Seek local counsel. We talk about general topics of the law that every single state is different, Todd. You know, that there's some general principles we discuss, but you know what? You've got to check. You know, Texas is different than New Hampshire, different than Kentucky or Nevada. I don't know. Maybe Nevada's got the Amargosa Valley. They just do what they want there.
They could. Well, look, the Amargosa Valley and that area there, they also have to deal with alien abductions and stuff.
I like the Amargosa Valley.
Area 51 in that locale, and so, I mean, it's out of this world.
Those of you who are new to us, new listeners, you're like, why do we keep pushing the Amargosa Valley? When we first started this show a couple years ago, the Amargosa Valley was one of our first affiliates to come on board. We love the Amargosa Valley, and we said and we argued, nobody's listening to us in the Amargosa Valley, and we get a phone call from Bill. We're listening. So we will never forget that, where Bill, the listener from Amargosa Valley, calls us and says, we're here and we're listening.
Josh would like to squeeze in one more question about the Mueller report.
Okay.
One more question. Go ahead, Josh.
I was just wondering, why would Barr be considered not with giving things if he's opened it up to the committee to go and read the full unredacted report and no one showed up to do it? If that's true.
So let me clarify. You're saying, why would Barr not be up to providing it to Congress with all their guarantees that they will keep things confidential, while at the same time making the offer that a select number can come and take a look at it?
No, I was just saying that what he's already offered, my understanding is that he has offered that anyone that wants to read it, that's in part of Congress, can come into the room and read it they just can't take anything out of it and stuff like that. So if they're concerned about what they're saying and says, well, we need to know that everything's okay, well, they can go read it.
Josh, I'm going to say I agree with you 100%. That's a head-scratcher. He has offered to have a select group of people come in. And let's remember, when the Republicans were in charge of the Judiciary Committee, there were times, when the whole idea behind whether or not there was FISA abuse going on, they were allowed to send a select group over to the FBI to take a look at the warrants and everything that went out. I think Trey Gowdy was one. You know, there's like three or four folks went over there. They looked at everything and then came back and told the rest of the folks on the committee, okay, we've looked at them. This appears to be okay. We know what they were doing here. We know what they were doing there. And they went on with it. Barr's made the same offer. They just haven't taking them up on it.
I think, Josh, one thing is the big issue there is, and that's a great point, a head scratcher, but Barr does not want to step up and testify anymore. He's pretty smart. I think he's saying, look, I don't want to be cross-examined. I'm tired of this. And that's one issue.
You know, and another thing that we didn't touch on last time, one of the reasons why he didn't want to come back to testify, is that on his second day of testimony before the Senate, the Senate had proposed that not the senators, they were going to have their staffers ask the questions. So right. You got a senator that's got a seasoned trial attorney sitting right on their staff, and they wanted the staffer to ask questions, right. And Barr is sitting there going, look, I'll answer questions to the elected representatives to do this because this is supposed to be fact-finding, but you're getting the lawyer in here to ask questions, to set things up here. You're not searching for the truth. You're trying to string me up. And I think he saw that a mile away, and that's why he came back, because they could not agree on who would be asking the questions.
Good point, Josh. Thanks for calling in. That was an excellent point. Thank you very much. Hey, so that was a great questions. We
yeah,
love
yeah,
to
thanks,
hear about
Josh.
The news. Josh brought some good points up. So, but anyway, Josh, go to our website, www.radiolawtalk.com, tonight when you're having issues and you can't sleep. And read our disclaimers.
Read the disclaimers.
Because the disclaimers are very, very
soothing.
Soothing, relaxing. But just remember, we're all not barred in every state. We're talking about general topics of law. I've said that too many times. Let's roll, Cal, case or no case for our listeners.
Now it's time to play case or no case.
Yay!
All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, those odd Canadians. Or are they?
What are you talking about?
Exactly, eh? When a biological man ran as a woman in a Canadian election in Vancouver, False Creek, Bill Whatcott started a campaign to expose what he called the transgender agenda. Leading up to the vote, he printed 1,500 flyers about the lifestyle of Morgane Ogre, complete with pictures and biblical verses. Now, it wasn't artful. It wasn't legitimately hateful. Ogre said, yes, it is. He filed a complaint with the human, or said his human rights had been violated. Whatcott countered, insisting that he wrote this as an act of religious and political expression, which is protected under Canadian law. And so I ask you, Fred Penny, case or no case?
What the heck did he just say?
A guy from Canada.
What? I didn't even know. I didn't even understand.
A transgender.
I got that part.
Was running for office, and another guy didn't like it. So
another guy.
So he printed up a bunch of flyers and said, here's a picture of this guy as a man. Here's a picture of him as a woman. Here's what the Bible, in my interpretation, says about transgenderism. And the alleged transgender candidate said, my human rights have been violated.
Easy answer.
Yeah.
How much time do I have?
Easy answer. Less than a minute.
Okay. No-brainer. You put yourself out there. You're a public figure. You're open for interpretation. You're open for criticism. His rights were not violated. Technically, I'm talking about the United States. I don't know what happens up in Canada, yell. No, ain't. Oh, no, wait. Semi. I know my cousins live. I have a cousin that lives in Canada. He calls it, I drove down the semi. But he says it different.
I'm about to drive down my semi?
Yeah, it's like, what's semi? What's semi sweet chocolate?
Semi?
No, my semi. my big truck? Oh, okay. All right, we'll be back. We'll hear what our illustrious man to my left, Todd, has to say about it. Thanks for joining us.
The answer to the great case or no case and more Radio Law Talk is coming right up. Don't go away.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Jason Rosbach here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or give them a call 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Hi, I'm Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I bet you're tired of hearing lawyer commercials, so just relax and listen to music for a few seconds. When you or a family member has been injured, call 800-616-4LAW or see us at PennyAndAssociates.com. See, that wasn't so bad.
I am Cameron Levitt, Chief Operating Officer of Concussion Medical Clinic. California's first concussion medical clinic is now open. As concussions increase each year, there has never been a greater need for concussion specialists. Our physicians at Concussion Medical Clinic are board certified in pediatric neurology and sports medicine and have partnered with universities, hospitals, and rehab clinics to expedite the recovery process. Simply put, we are elevating the standard of care. When you need an expert concussion opinion or concussion...
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
If you feel you've been lied to, pressured, or misled into buying your timeshare, you have the right to cancel completely. This is Steve Sanchez, and I'd like to introduce you to Wesley Financial Group, the leading top-rated timeshare cancellation company in the country. That's right, no more excessive fees or lifetime commitments that make you feel like you're serving a prison sentence. Founded by CEO Chuck McDowell, a pioneer in the industry, who went into federal court and won against the largest timeshare resort company in the world just to help you get out of your timeshare. Too good to be true? No. Countless testimonials and the highest ratings from the Better Business Bureau make Wesley Financial Group the real deal, and their money-back guarantee they put in writing makes them the Steve Sanchez choice for successfully canceling your timeshare guaranteed. To get their free information kit, call 1-800-475-1919. That's 1-800-475-1919, or visit them at timesharecancellations.com. That's 1-800-475-1919.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you serious?
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting old. Every time I put my headset back on, I got to clear my ears because I can't hear very well. I'm getting so old, I don't know what to do. We're talking about case or no case, and it was Todd's turn. Just give us a very brief, quick overview again, Cal.
A biological man ran as a woman for local office in Vancouver, False Creek, Canada. Bill Whatcott did not like it. So he started a campaign to what he called expose the transgender agenda. We printed up a bunch of flyers about the lifestyle. It wasn't artful, but it wasn't hateful either. But Ogar disagreed and filed a complaint. He said his human rights had been violated. And Whatcott, the guy who did the flyer, countered and said, this is an act of religious and political expression, and I have the right to do that even in the People's Republic of Canada, eh? And that's our setup for case or no case. So the question to Fred was, is it a case? And Fred said, what?
Oh, I said, yes, it is a case, and he loses due to the fact that he's a public figure now. And, by the way, if you want to call in, we always tell you that. A lot of people don't want to call in and be on the radio. You can still call Cal and tell him your vote. Tell us what you want at 855-LAW-RADIO or tweet us at Radio Law Talk. What do you say, buddy?
Well, this is how I'm going to tackle this one. You know, anytime you have a representative form of government where we elect representatives to pass laws that, you know, based upon our interests, and the person that wins is going to represent the popular vote, and folks have a right to know if there's an agenda at play. You know, you might agree with it, you might not agree with it. They have a right to know. And so if this individual is putting out information about a person who wants to represent your interests in politically, folks got a right to know. He's got a right to go ahead and put that out there. You know, you have the freedom of speech. You don't have the right to force everybody to agree with you. So I think that the transgender individual put themselves out there, made themselves subject to that. I don't think anything's going to be discriminatory. There's going to be no discrimination claims, assuming that the Canadian laws are similar to United States laws. And I think that the attacks or whatever the information was published was legitimate. So I think that the political candidate loses. I guess it's a long way of saying, I agree with Fred.
So you're saying it's a case.
It's a case, and I agree with
and
Fred.
And the candidate loses. Fred says it's a case, and the candidate loses.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Which
well,
scares so me
probably
because,
they could probably lose.
Which scares me because that is too obvious. And
yes.
The only reason Cal's really going to bring this up is so that we go, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that was the outcome.
Yeah. So those of you who say it was a case, may I see by the show of hands, 1 point for each.
Oh,
very good.
Case.
All right. Now, for those of you who say the candidate prevailed, likewise, a show of hands, if I may. The candidate prevailed, neither of you. So those of you who say the plaintiff prevailed, that would be the, I mean, let's see, the candidate was the person who said they were offended.
Right.
So who say the other guy prevailed?
Hold on a second. Just want to clarify.
Not the plaintiff.
Let's use the transgender person versus the.
Yeah, so those of you who say
I'm saying the transgender person lost.
Me too. The okay. candidate. I'm going to call
the candidate. The candidate lost. The person who published the information about the
wins.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So those of you who say that the candidate lost, that would be Fred and Todd and.
Oh my gosh!
Whoa!
I know. In Canada, there is a human rights tribunal, and even speech cannot be guaranteed in Canada if they determine in their little
tribunal
proceeding that somehow it's hateful. The three-person tribunal ultimately sided with Ogre, the transgender candidate, ordering Mr. Whatcott to pay $35,000 Canadian dollars in compensation, plus a fine of $20,000 for what they called improper conduct during the hearings. Obviously, he was outraged at the proceedings. So it may be appealed to the Canadian Supreme Court. Maybe. We'll see. It hasn't happened yet. But nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it.
Wow.
From the land of the great white north, case or no case.
You know, it's interesting that this one comes up and that it was that they decided on the basis of believing it was some sort of hate speech.
Right.
Right. I think that it's very important for people to remember that when you have a law that comes down, you have to look at either how the words in the law were defined at the time the law came out, or how the decision, if it's a court decision, chose to define a certain topic. I'm going to give you an example, the Second Amendment. You know, there was a case that the opinion was written by Scalia where he actually went back and studied what the grammar was and how it was used at the time the Constitution was framed, and that played a large part in how they achieved that opinion. Okay, so in this one here, we hear a lot of stuff about hate speech, right? And the hate speech law, the decisions that came out that said hate speech is not protected speech under the First Amendment, also included in those opinions a definition of what hate speech is.
Right.
And the definition essentially is hate speech is something that actually in the speech itself, in the terms itself, includes a call to action to do something harmful. So if I say, you know, I don't like a person, I don't like a person because of the color of their skin, that's not hate speech. If I say everybody with that color of skin should be taken out and beaten, and
right,
you know,
right,
that is hate speech, because I'm calling to action something other. And I see in today's day and age, that just gets used so much. They hear somebody says, well, you know, I don't support transgenderism. And one pundit says, I don't believe gender is malleable.
Right.
Okay. Well, the folks say, well, that's hate speech, because you don't like it. No, it's just my opinion.
Right. It's just
I haven't
opinion.
Said they should all be taken out and harmed.
It would seem to the cynic, and I'm somewhat cynical, that this is an effort simply to remove people's rights from them for some agenda that we can't all figure out. But
yeah, that I think in the United States it may have been a little bit different.
I believe so.
I think that would have gone to the Supreme Court to determine whether or not. I think it sounded like it was on the edge. In other words, on the edge of
The flyers were not particularly hateful. He just said, the Bible says this guy's a transgender, you know, you're electing someone who's evil, apparently, blah, blah, blah.
I think that's why Fred and I chose the way we did, because we practice in America.
Yes, but I think, I like the freedom of speech without hate. You got to be careful of the hate speech. Man alive, we got to protect freedom of speech and people's opinions. Remember, everybody out there, I always say this. Let's agree to disagree and move on.
Agreeably.
Again,
let's
agree to disagree and move on.
Yeah.
That's okay to disagree. I tell that to people all the time. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this Texas bartender charged with serving alcohol to individual with wacko.
Yeehaw!
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
If you're one of those independent people who want your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In. Ready to grow with you.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do. But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do. And I know this place right down the road. Quick, quack, car wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, quick, quack, car wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick, quack, car wash. They'll have you looking sharp. Come on.
Not all law firms have extensive experience in all areas of the law. It's wise to look for firms that have knowledge and understanding in your particular area of concern. So go to prolawfirms.com. They have listings of attorneys in key areas of practice, such as family law, estate planning, personal injury, bankruptcy, and so forth. When you're looking for a lawyer that has extensive experience in your particular area of need, go to prolawfirms.com. That's prolawfirms.com.
Prolawfirms.com is not a law firm and does not endorse or recommend any specific law firm.
The cost of getting rid of garbage is high, and recycling products is lucrative. If you're a business or know of a business that needs an individual compactor or baler, call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. If you already have an industrial compactor, baler, or shredder and need service, don't forget to call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. Northwest Compacting, your full-service industrial compacting and baling company. Read more about them at Northwest Compacting.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
President Donald Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, has reversed course and now says he will no longer travel to Ukraine to push for that country to investigate Democratic presidential contender Joe Biden. Giuliani told Fox News the meeting would have accomplished little and may be in the hands of those who might misrepresent it.
I will get out of it in order to remove any political suggestion.
Okay.
I will step back. And I'll just watch it unfold.
The news came hours after Trump had told Politico in an interview that he planned to speak with Giuliani about the trip. In Washington State, parents can no longer claim a personal or philosophical reason for not having their children vaccinated for measles before attending school. Washington Governor Jay Inslee signed the bill yesterday.
What we need to do in the state of Washington is make decisions based on science. We have to do it based on medicine. And we have to do it based on public health to help all of our children.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
With a recession ending. If you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
To get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
We are back here on Radio Law Talk. And where are we?
We're going to talk about the bartender.
Yes.
So we have our wonderful affiliate, KBDT, in Dallas, Texas. They are a, what is it, Talk? What is it, Cal?
Big Dallas Talk, BDT, K Big Dallas Talk. 35,000 watts of AM flames being thrown out into the air over the Dallas Metroplex.
That is a big, big station that carries us. Thank you for carrying us. But this is what's going on in Texas. There, and Todd and I were talking about this during the break. You know, we in no way, just so you know, are ever in any way trying to downplay what happened in this tragic incident where this crazy guy goes and kills
eight people at a football watch party in 2017, I believe, in Plano, Texas.
Yeah, he goes crazy. So before that, let's set up what happens. Okay, first of all, in Texas, there's a law, and I tweeted it out to be generally speaking, is a bartender's got to be very careful, or anyone serving alcohol, if they serve it to someone that's basically known to be drunk or is basically, well, I could read it, but they have knowledge that the person is impaired.
They call it a habitual drunkard or an intoxicated or insane person. And for those of you that are nerds that like to really look up the law, that is the Texas Alcohol Beverage Control Code, section 101.63. sale to certain persons.
Yes, and
isn't there a legal definition for drunk?
Well, hold on.
And there must be.
Yeah, Cal. So it says, quote, at the time of the provision, this is I'm quoting section 2.02, at the time of the provision occurred, it was, quote, apparent to the provider that the individual being sued served or provided with alcohol beverages was, quote, still quoting, obviously intoxicated, and I underline obviously, to the extent that he presented a underline clear danger. I'm underlying, by the way, a clear danger to himself or others. So that's the general rule that these bartenders slash alcohol people who are serving alcohol in Texas have to abide by. Now let's set that up. Don't forget this gal that was arrested for this incident who served this wacko some alcohol probably is making minimum wage, working for tips, you know. And Todd, you brought out a very important point as a former prosecutor in Tennessee and California and now as a defense lawyer. How cross-examine our police officers when they say someone's drunk? They have to be just nails on doing everything proper.
Absolutely. I mean, look, so I prosecuted DUIs and I have defended DUIs. And the issue here
or DWIs in some states.
In some states, driving while intoxicated due to alcohol. The issue here is, what are the officer's qualifications to determine whether somebody is intoxicated? You know, they've got, they do their field sobriety test training in the academy. They have to maintain that certification. They've got to be certified on the devices that they use, the breathalyzer, the preliminary alcohol screen device. I mean, there's a whole host. And if you're a defense attorney, you're attacking the qualifications of a person who does this for a living, determines the intoxicated nature of individuals, and is specially trained to do that. Okay. How are we supposed to say that a bartender working for tips, I mean, if an officer can have their qualifications challenged based upon everything, how are we supposed to say that the bartender, and I guarantee you they don't have, if they have any training at all in observing or identifying intoxicated to the point that you're so impaired that you can't make rational decisions, how is this person going to be trained or prove they have any training comparable to a police officer?
Now here's the argument. Now, on their side, on the prosecutor's side, this is from this individual that they've arrested. It's a young gal, Lindsay Glass. She's 27 years old, and it's called Local Public House in Plano, Texas. That's what it's called. And she tweeted out after this individual, and his name's Spencer, apparently. After he came in, she said, quote, Spencer has a big knife on the bar and is spinning it and just asked for his tab and said, I have to go do some dirty work. She had dot, dot, dot. She calls him psycho. Okay. The first thing is, everyone's like, well, this is a pretty clear case. Well, some people can argue. He was so drunk. He was stumbling outside. She still served him alcohol. My argument is not specifically on this case.
I, when you're done, I'm going to put my hat on as the defense attorney, how I would attack that.
Okay, good. Okay. I want you. But what I'm trying to say is, where does that slippery slope end? What I'm trying to say is, where's the line? If he wasn't tripping out in the patio area, if he didn't have the night and spun that and still went and did what he did, is she liable? You know, where does it end or where does it stop?
And if she says he was psycho, she didn't say he was drunk.
Yeah.
Now, that to me is a pretty interesting thing. She didn't say the guy was so drunk that he was, and he's psycho. She said he was psycho.
Now, there were texts that she sent earlier in the day that referenced that she was aware of his drinking pattern. I believe those texts said he had two gins and he only had two beers and a shot when he came back. I think he was at another bar. So that was referenced to earlier in the day. He had two gins and he only had two beers and a shot when he came back. So he had two gins, left, then came back and had some additional.
So what, and that's the issue right there. Again, call us at 855 Law Radio if you want to talk about this. But that's the issue I bring up. So now here she is trying to analyze the situation. She's probably got a bunch of customers around that she's trying to serve. I don't go to bars, but I do go to restaurants, and I sit at the bar. Those bartenders are flying.
Yep.
They don't have time to sit there. Can they quickly look and try to analyze? Generally, yes, anybody can. But the fact is they got this order and then that person, and they're running with their heads cut off. And here she's trying to figure out and analyze this situation that puts a lot of onus on a bartender at 27, making minimum wage and working hard for tips.
Okay.
$7.25 in Texas, by the way.
Okay, so let me put on my defense attorney hat. The first thing the defense attorney does is they look. Philosophically, I never like to refer to things as bad facts for me. That puts me in a bad frame of mind. We have good facts, and then we have facts beyond change, things I can't do anything about. I never refer to something as bad facts because that just it puts me in the wrong frame of mind in terms of defending a case. So one of the facts beyond change that we have here is the fact that first, she seemed to know the guy because she referred to him as Spencer. Okay, and she was aware enough about him to know what his drinking pattern was earlier in the day, because that might have gotten that from the bar tip or the bill that she gave him. But here are the things that I'm going to do as a defense attorney.
You don't practice in Texas.
I don't practice in Texas.
So we don't know all the details.
That's
we're just
right.
talking in general. Just so you know, we're talking in general.
So the first thing that I do is I'm going to try to attack the big, what appears to be the smoking gun, this reference to the knife on the bar and all of that. If that knife was not out while he was drinking and she only observed the knife as the text seems to indicate at the time that he asked for his bill, I'm going to seek a motion that none of that evidence should come in as irrelevant because that has nothing to do with my observations of intoxication. And even if I had observed that he was intoxicated, the fact that I didn't see the knife or she didn't see the knife until the bill came, why would I have known to stop giving him alcohol? I didn't see the knife until the bill came.
That was at the end.
That was at the end. Because it's the end, the prejudicial impact substantially outweighs any probative value, anything it might have to do to whether or not I'm culpable. So I'm going to seek to try to get that out. May win, may not. But the other thing that I'm going to look at here is this drinking pattern. He had two gins, those two drinks, and he had two beers and a shot when he came back. So we got five drinks total. Two gins, two beers, and a shot. Now, on average, if they're doing normal drinks, each drink will raise his blood alcohol level about a 0.02. All right. Now, if we are talking about a drinking pattern, because he was here earlier in the day, left, came back, and we don't know if she surmises that he might have gotten alcohol somewhere else, but doesn't know. We're talking, if this was over a 4 or 5 hour period, and he's burning alcohol, metabolizing it at about 0.02 per hour, you know, five drinks over 5 hours, your blood alcohol level is not going to get above a 0.01.
And does it matter, Todd? You know this more than I do. His size. What if he's a big dude?
He metabolizes it quicker than somebody who's 115 pounds, 5'2". So the question here is, does this drinking pattern even mean that a person would be so intoxicated they couldn't drive? And the last thing coming up on the break is, if I was to tell you that somebody leaves the bar drunk, what kind of harm, 9 times out of 10, would you think they would commit? Probably a driving offense or somebody got hurt, not going to a party and killing people with a machete.
Yeah, and the guy is crazy. So,
yes.
I mean, now she has to figure out craziness, not just alcohol issues. Do I got to figure out crazy?
And tell the difference.
Yeah, and
yes.
Tell the difference. And she's making minimum wage. We're going to talk more about this. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO if you want to discuss the issues here with this bartender. We'll be right back.
Thanks for turning on Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA? Or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance. You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system,
or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny because they haven't chosen to take the first step towards the life they've always dreamed of. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Start small or dream big. Work part-time or full-time. You choose the pace. Just visit startlivingyoung.com. That's startlivingyoung.com. And click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health products company that spent 5 years on the Inc. 5,000 fastest-growing private companies in America list. With over $1 billion a year in sales, they'll provide all the tools you need to thrive and succeed. And you'll be blown away by how little it takes to get started. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab at the top of the page. 2019 will be the year your new life begins. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Go to the website, RadioLawTalk.com. You can listen to the show there, and there's a lot of other good information, too. That's RadioLawTalk.com.
Radio Law Talk.
Yeah, we're back talking about this crazy guy, Spencer Haidt. By the way, like I say, Radio Law Talk, the facts sometimes are true, but he actually was using a gun, and you mentioned machete.
And arguably that, from a defense standpoint, that cuts in her favor.
Right.
No pun intended. It's in her favor because she, in her text, it says he asked for the check while having a big knife on the bar spinning it. Well, the knife wasn't even the instrumentality used to commit the murders.
Right.
So that would be further evidence as to why that statement should be suppressed, because that had, it's got nothing or not used because it's not relevant to whether or not she knew he was intoxicated. All right. I want to read this really quickly here. So the code that Fred read says a person commits an offense if the person with criminal negligence sells an alcoholic beverage to a habitual drunkard, intoxicated, or sane person. Criminal negligence is defined as a person who acts recklessly or is reckless with respect to circumstances surrounding the conduct or the result of his conduct when he is aware of but consciously disregards a substantial and unjustifiable risk that the circumstances exist that the result will occur. All right. I mean, it's a long way of saying that you're criminally negligent if you do this, and it's highly likely that the result that happened was going to occur. And that's why when we went to the break, I asked the question about if you were to ask about the risk that occurs, people would most likely say, you let a guy leave, he had a 0.33 blood alcohol level, most likely it's going to be a vehicle accident where somebody dies. It's not a shooting.
Is there a legal standard for highly likely?
Well, see, that's why.
Is that a dumb question? This is probably a silly question for me to ask, but I'm thinking in court, wouldn't you say, well, Your Honor, what does highly likely mean?
The answer is probably yes. There's probably some case law on it, but I don't know what it is, or it's going to be whatever it is in Texas, what that is.
Sure.
But I put the three most important words are apparent, obviously, and clear danger. Those are the three. But to me, you know, to reach that level, to me, it's got to be really high. You've really got to know what's so dead obvious.
Well, and here's an anecdotal thing from my career as a prosecutor. I had a case once where I was prosecuting somebody for a DUI, and we had the surveillance video of when they were booked into the police station, okay? And so I'm watching the video. It shows the person. They come in. The intake officer is asking them questions and stuff. We don't have the audio, but clearly it's, you know, give me name, age, height, you know, all that kind of stuff. They take the stuff out of their pockets, and then they take the person. They took this person over, and they put them on this machine, a platform, and the platform physically moves about 3 feet to the left and 3 feet to the right. It's a scanner to make sure that they're not trying to conceal anything in a body cavity or anything like that, right? And it comes back, and this thing moved left to right. The person didn't grab the rail, sat there, and I'm watching this as a DA going, well, that person certainly doesn't look intoxicated. They then left, went and sat down. Phlebotomist comes in, takes the blood out of the arm. We tested the blood that was taken right after the thing moved. 0.41.
That is hammer.
Blood alcohol level. 0.41. Now, comatose is 0.5. 0.4 to 5. Death is just a little bit of 5. 0.41. My point is, you know why DUI is 0.08 or higher? Because before they gave an actual limit, you'd have people coming in as a defense saying, you know what, I can handle my alcohol, I can handle my liquor. And they didn't want these prosecutions to end up being, well, I got to prove that you're a lightweight drunk or you're a, you know, heavyweight drunk and that you're only drunk if you're a 0.2. They finally said, you know what, forget all that. We're just going to say if you're 0.08 or higher, you're legally drunk for purposes of driving. Because if you don't have that, you don't know how people react. And if this guy's a habitual drunk, as the code says, then they can operate and appear to function normally with a higher than normal blood alcohol level.
We have an affiliate in Utah. I want to mention in Utah it's 0.5, and that may end up being a revised national standard. And basically, Todd, I think what they're really trying to say is, we have a zero tolerance, but we know people are going to have a little bit of something to drink. But look, don't drink and drive, and they're keeping lower and try to turn it into a zero tolerance environment. That's what it appears to me.
You're right.
Well, what's interesting, so let's talk about this Lindsey Glass. This law in Texas, the fine is up to $500 and up to a year in jail or both. So that it's not a huge, you know, penalty, but you know, again, she's not going to want that on her record. Here's the other thing that's interesting. The other thing that's interesting is a lot of this is coming up because what happened is, and again, I'm a plaintiff's lawyer and I'm all for this, the victim's families have filed lawsuit against the bar for negligently over-serving height. And now the issue's going to be now, this is my question, how do you connect the dots? I'm saying that without in legal terms. How do you connect the dots? How is it foreseeable that this bar and its employee would have foreseen that he would have gone out and shot these people and killed 8 individuals maliciously from serving them too much alcohol? Is that foreseeable? That's the question.
I think if somebody leaves the bar, it's foreseeable that they can get into an accident and kill somebody in the car. Right? I think that that is typically the scenario. Somebody leaves the bar, they get behind the wheel of a car, you know, especially if you see them leaving the bar and they're drunk and they got the keys or they let the keys, whatever. That is far more likely than somebody going and shooting up a house.
Now, next question that I have, and of course, insurance is a question here. A lot of places have errors and omissions insurance. They have general liability. Can you insure a bar against over-serving?
So it depends. That's what I'm going to ask. So there are a lot of, again, I don't know all the states. You seek local counsel in Texas to answer this question. But in general, there are some states and some that follow a general rule that says, you know, we're not, as an insurance company, going to cover you for any, quote, criminal acts of your employees or of you individually. So if they deem that she committed a, quote, criminal act, they can argue you're not covered for your insurance because she served alcohol in, quote, illegally, according to this code section. So, but I don't know. I don't know. Every policy is different. They'd have to check their policy, but you better double check your policy and see that.
You know what's baffling to me on a criminal standpoint with this is that misdemeanors in both jurisdictions that I had practiced in Tennessee and California, and I thought this is pretty much uniform, the statute of limitations on a misdemeanor is typically 1 year. 1 year from the date of the offense, that's how long the people have to file this. Now, this incident happened back in 2017. She was just arrested a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know how Texas is getting around the one-year statute of limitations, if indeed that applies to a misdemeanor, to file a case and place an arrest on somebody for an incident that happened almost 2 years ago. It happened in September of 17, so we're talking, what, somewhere along the lines of 19, 20 months?
Yeah.
So I don't know how they get around that statute of limitations.
Maybe they have a two-year
there.
Statute. We don't know. Don't know. But this is all interesting stuff about this. We're going to follow this case closely, but I just think it's just very interesting how this puts an onus on these young, most of them are young women and men who are serving and just trying to make a living. I'm not, again, what a tragic situation, and not in any way downplaying the death of these wonderful people.
But to pin it on the bartender secondarily, to me, just smacks of a little overreach. That's just my own opinion. I'm no lawyer, and you know that. I'm just thinking from a person sitting on the outside.
Right.
Doesn't that seem like overreach?
Well, I think one other consideration we have here is, as I looked at this law, the problem I had was that I understand what they're trying to do. I think that the law has a lot of problems in terms of how you actually enforce it and what you can actually prove. And what I see with this case here, I don't know how many they prosecuted, but if this one doesn't turn out well for the prosecution, this could very well be the way for the prosecutors to say, see, this kind of a law doesn't work. Let's go back in and fix it so we can actually have something that's enforceable that protects the harm we're trying to protect against, because this one isn't doing it. But you got to have one case to run through to see how it works, and this one certainly garnered a lot of attention.
Yeah, I think this one, no doubt, if she is convicted, it'll go to the Supreme Court, I would think. And probably she might plead, to be honest with you, and the prosecution might not want to run this through the courts due to the fact they want to make sure that this is going to continue to be a law. Also, civilly, it might go to court, too.
Yep.
So we're going to be back with hour number three. Thanks for joining us. It's just Todd and I and Cal, the Three Musketeers. We'll be right back.
Hour number three of Radio Law Talk is coming up right here, so don't go away.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.